REO Speedwagon can't fight this feeling. Good morning. It's 35 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio this morning, the long-awaited, much-ballyhooed Andrea Thomas.
Andrea. Hi, Rob. I know. I just thank you, everyone, for your patience. I just flew in from Angoon. I was there for a couple of days helping people with doing the Affordable Care Act, filing exemptions, and got weathered in like Alaska sometimes.
That's kind of life. That's life here in Southeast Alaska.
It
but
is.
But you can't fight that feeling. You know,
you can't fight that feeling. And when the snow is coming down, the plane's going crazy, you try to fight the feeling, though.
I am Robert Woolsey. I'm the news director here at Raven Radio. And joining me in the studio is Andrea Thomas. She is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. And this is our live call-in on the Affordable Care Act. We're a little bit behind schedule, but we have a lot of time yet to cover some important material. And, Andrea, I think it's important that people who are listening know that your services are available to anyone.
That's right.
We're not just talking about search beneficiaries here.
That's
Though we'll have a lot of information for search beneficiaries.
We will.
This is
for anybody. And quite a number of things have been happening. We've been having open enrollment events. Really have a great partnership with UAS. And we'll be having a number of enrollment sessions happening. We have one this Thursday night from 5:30 to 7:30. We'll have another one this Saturday from 1 to 3. Then there's spring break, so everybody's going to have to be scrambling. And then the final week of March, we'll have a Tuesday and a Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30 again. These are for everybody in the community can come to these events.
Because it is crunch time.
It is total crunch time.
Yeah, the deadline.
March 31st is right around the corner.
The deadline to enroll is March 31st.
20 days.
It's the same date as the filing deadline for the permanent fund deadline. So it's a date Alaskans are familiar with.
That's right.
I guess there is a website, healthcare.gov, which somewhat infamously didn't work very well at first. And there's a toll-free number and then other resources that we'll talk about here during this show. And I just wanted to let people know that, Andrea, you are here right now to answer our listeners' questions about sort of navigating the options for enrollment in a healthcare plan. And if anyone listening has experiences in the system, successes or failures, we want to hear from you. But if you want to complain about government policy, the president or Congress, this is probably not the right forum. You know, there are definitely things to complain about, but I encourage folks to write a commentary for Raven Radio or a letter to the editor or use some other public forum to express your opinions. This is really about getting help to enroll and some of the challenges and successes you may or may not experience. The number to call here at Raven Radio is 747-5877. If you're outside of Sitka, it's 1-800-478-5877. You can also post your questions on our Facebook page. We've just started up a thread about the Affordable Care Act, so you can get on there and write a question. And the best way to do that is just go to kcaw.org and click on the Facebook button. But, Andrea, you have sort of a presentation you give folks when you have these enrollment sessions. And I wondered if we could sort of take a quick run through that.
I would love to give you that information. So we're going to be talking about the Affordable Care Act. And this is a huge piece of legislation. In fact, when I was doing my homework this weekend, I went online and I found the abbreviated version of the Affordable Care Act, and it's 954 pages. That's the abbreviated one. So what we're going to be talking about today is just really just a dent into what this piece of legislation does. So right now in Alaska, there's about 100,000 people who do not have any insurance. And this is particularly targeting those folks. I'm going to talk a little bit about some pieces of the Affordable Care Act that some people may know, some people may not know. And this is really about insurance reforms. These are some changes in the law. So before, insurance companies used to not cover pre-existing conditions. Well, this is no longer allowed. So, for example, I was on a call with colleagues the other day, and they talked about a fellow who had given his kidney to a family member, and for the past 30 years, he was unable to get insurance because of this, you know, pre-existing condition.
And a generous act.
Yes, and an incredible generous act. And you know, he was absolutely in tears when he left because for the first time he could buy insurance. So that is, a tremendous asset to a lot of people. And also, insurance companies can't charge some people more than others. In other words, they used to be able to charge women more than men, and that's largely due to maternity. They also no longer able to have lifetime limits for insurance. So that would really affect, say, for example, you were a child and you had leukemia and you made it through, but that's extremely expensive. And when you're 30 years old and trying to get insurance, you could run into that you absolutely cannot have insurance anymore because you've met your lifetime limit. That's no longer allowed. And in addition to that, they've made changes for the maximum out-of-pocket that you can spend in a year. So for an individual now, that's $6,350, and double that for a family. So those of us who have had insurance before know that that out-of-pocket used to be, could be really, really high. And so that's a new change. So in a year, as an individual, you would not pay more than $6,350 out of your pocket. Another big change is that young adults, 26 and under, can stay on their parents' insurance. So that's great for them, too. So those are just some, and again, just some of these great reforms that have taken place.
All right, Andrea, we'll probably dip into the rest of your presentation throughout the morning, but we already have a caller. Hi, David, you're on the air.
I was wondering about this Medicare donut hole.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, there is a Medicare.
Did you have a specific question about it, David, or did you want Andrea to just talk about it a little bit?
Well, I'd like to know more about it, and under what circumstances do you fall into the donut hole?
Okay. Thanks very much for your call. The donut hole is creating a lot of stir in Sitka because in Alaska, Governor Parnell decided not to opt in to the federal Medicaid expansion. And so people actually make too little money.
That's right.
To qualify for
enrollment. I think David is asking about Medicare donut hole or Medicaid hole donut hole. So the Medicaid, which is what I'll be talking about, is really Alaska, just like any other state, was offered money through the federal government to expand Medicaid. So how the health care marketplace is set up is that people between the federal poverty level of 100%, let's just say one person, you need to make $14,350, all the way up to $57,400, which is the 400% poverty level. If you make between those amounts, you're eligible to get a tax credit to help pay for your premiums, and you may be eligible to lower your deductible and out-of-pockets. And I know this is a lot of language, and I'm going to get into what all those mean. But anybody who makes below, I should say any adult or married couple that makes below the 100% poverty level, which would be for one person, that'd be $14,350. And for a couple, it would be $19,330. If you make below that, you fall into this gap, which means you can't buy insurance through the marketplace for affordable health care. And because the state of Alaska, because the governor turned down money from the federal government to expand Medicaid, there is really no affordable health care that people that fall into this gap can purchase. It's basically like buying insurance that is the most expensive is the only thing that's available. So this really is affecting about 43,000 people in our state, and 17,000 of which are Alaska Native people, which are actually covered by the Indian Health Service. So they have a recourse, which leaves about 26,000 people And this is probably the toughest part of my job. It's when people are going through all the paperwork and realizing, wow, I can't get assistance.
Right. Governor Parnell was here back in October, sitting in your chair, and I asked him about the Medicaid expansion, and he said, well, there's, you know, he was concerned about its impact on Alaska's budget several years down the road after the federal government would no longer be involved in helping pay for it. And he said, well, there's still the private marketplace.
Marketplace is extremely expensive.
Right.
It's extremely expensive. And the majority of people that fall into this category really have not had insurance or have been purchasing insurance and spending a tremendous amount of their income on that insurance. But I would say mostly people are uninsured. Now, I know that some of us have heard Hugh, who is the CEO at Sitka Community Hospital, talk about the $1 million of essentially free services. This is essentially, you know, our community helps pay for people who really cannot afford insurance. So if it's it comes out in one direction or another. And so, it's been very, very heartbreaking for people who really want insurance. And frankly, I find that most people that I've been helping in this category are self-employed or unemployed, just can't find a job and live in places where it's very difficult. So I work not only in Sitka, but I work throughout the whole region. So this is not just a Sitka issue for search and for myself.
Yeah, we had a story just on this morning's news. Rachel Waldholtz interviewed a couple who had gone to one of your workshops,
right.
And they were small business owners, and their business consumed a lot of their income. They fell into the hole, and for them, there was no way out. It was just status quo. They're pretty much the same as they were before the
ACA
was passed. So in your experience, the governor might have been overly optimistic about what the private marketplace could do for people making below poverty level.
The private is extremely expensive.
Right.
Extremely expensive. So that's really not an option for people.
Okay. We have another caller. Alan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is, what if you're disabled and you have Medicaid and Medicare already?
Good question.
Yeah, so if you have insurance, if you have Medicaid, Medicare, veterans benefits, or if you have insurance through your employer or you purchase your own, you're covered. You're set. You meet the individual mandate. Now, the individual mandate says you need to either have insurance, you need to get an exemption, or you are going to pay a penalty. And so if you have Medicaid and Medicare, you're all set. You don't need to do anything.
Okay.
All right.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you for your call. The number is 747-5877. If you're listening outside of Sitka, you can call 1-800-478-5877, or you can post a question for Andrea Thomas on our Facebook page. You can find that by clicking the button at kcaw.org. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager at the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium Research, but she's here to help everybody. So.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this individual mandate. Again, this individual mandate requires that everybody have insurance. Most people want insurance. In my work with people, most everybody wants insurance. They just can't afford it. So people need to have insurance or file an exemption or pay a penalty. And I'll talk a little bit more about exemptions, but These strategies are really to reduce the number of uninsured people in our country. So this is done with a couple strategies, both rewards and penalties. So the rewards are making insurance more affordable through the marketplace, and the penalties are these tax penalties. And again, let's talk a little bit about these penalties. So initially, these penalties are going to start in 2014, so not this year when you file your taxes, but next year. And it starts out not too bad, and it next year or the year after, it gets steeper and steeper. So in 2014, it's $95 for an adult and half that for a child, or 1% of your taxable income, whichever is greater. So again, you're going to pay a flat fee or a percentage, whichever is greater. In 2015, it's $325 per adult and half that for a youth, or 2% of your income. And in 2016, it's $695 per adult and half that for youth, or 2.5% of your income. So I certainly have helped people that what they're paying for insurance is far under this tax penalty.
Right. But what about the people, Dave called and asked about the donut hole, what about the people who fall into the donut hole so they don't qualify for Medicaid because Alaska hasn't made it available to them? They can't play in the healthcare marketplace because their income is too low, so the government's going to stick a penalty for
right.
that?
And so just to reiterate this a little bit, the way this was set up is that the federal government, the Affordable Care Act, was going to have the marketplace and then give states, which a number of states have taken this, money to expand Medicaid. So this wasn't really going to be such an issue.
Right.
And now it has become one, at least in our state and the other states that have not expanded Medicaid. So what needs to happen, if people have gone through the marketplace and they went through the whole thing and realized, oh, they could not get any tax credits, they will automatically, the marketplace then knows that they meet this hardship exemption, and they should get an exemption number from the federal government.
Okay, so you should at least try, right?
You should at least try, but if you don't want to go, if you know you will be in this gap and you don't want to do it, you actually can get a paper hardship exemption and file this exemption. So basically, it's on the healthcare.gov. If you look up exemption forms, you can find a hardship exemption, download it, or I actually have copies of it, and then you can fill it out, and you have to have some sort of proof. Well, very often times people have their 2013 tax returns, and that will do the job. So okay. You would attach that.
All right.
So there's lots of different exemptions, too, not just for hardship if people are homeless or people are in domestic violence shelters, if they've just become bankrupt, or if they've been evicted. There's people that are incarcerated, or if you have less than a 3-month gap in coverage. Some people work seasonally. Let's just say you work seasonally for 10 months and you're covered by insurance and there's just 2-month gap. You can actually file an exemption so you don't have to face a penalty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And all this all happens on the website. And Andrea, I'll ask the dumb question, maybe in a lot of people's
Please
minds.
Do.
The website, healthcare.gov, got some really bad press when it was rolled out, and people were talking about were the bugs, and the success stories were few and far between. How is it?
It's working great now. It's working great. Now, there are some times that it kicks you off, but generally, it's nothing like it was. They've done a lot of fine tuning, and it's been working great. Now, in Alaska, if you work a little earlier in the day or later in the day, I've been finding that the middle of the day is the time when I get kicked out the most. So you can get on this 24 hours. And actually, the toll-free line, which is 1-800-318-2596, if you are not computer savvy, the last thing you want to do is sit in front of a computer, you can call this line, 1-800-318-2596, and completely enroll in healthcare, in the healthcare marketplace online. Again, this is a 24/7, so any time, day or night, which I bet you nighttime would be a really easy time to get through.
Right. I want to say, Andrea, that in our news reporting that Rachel Waldholtz has spearheaded here at Raven Radio, we've probably encountered 4 confirmed success stories, people who've dramatically lowered their costs or have gotten their first health plans ever. And 3 kind of disappointing stories, people who dropped into the Medicaid donut hole, or people who've made just enough money that they don't qualify for subsidies and are now looking at paying premiums who never had to pay before. And then just some struggle with the website and some success with the phone line. What's the ratio of sort of success to failure or success to trouble in this?
Well, the people I've been helping, it's been pretty successful. We've had some run-ins, but generally it's been pretty successful. I think people that started early, which, you know, bless their hearts, they started right in October, but that's when it was really a mess. And essentially what people have to do is delete their application and start again. And as painful as that may sound, it's not as painful as keep trying to do your old application again and again and again. It's better to go in, delete it, and start over again.
Okay. We have another caller. Jody, you're on the air.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
I was wondering, is there a local insurance broker here in town that you could kind of sit down with and maybe talk to them about the more intricate aspects of, say, like a HSA plan, a health savings plan?
Right.
Is that in your sort of bailiwick?
I do have.
Thanks, Jody, for your call.
Yes, there are insurance agents, and I'm just going through my papers here. There's Enroll Alaska that is set up, which is basically a insurance broker, and it's based out of Anchorage, and that's 1-855-385-5550. There's essentially an insurance broker. I have a couple of another ones is the Wilson agents. These are in Anchorage, but I would think most. I'm not really sure about the insurance companies here, but are you asking Jody? Let me just try to clarify.
Jody's not on the
line.
Darn
it. Jody, I just wanted to try to clarify to see if you fell over the 400% income and you're looking for to buy insurance, then most insurance agencies in town would be able to help with that. If you're looking at help through the marketplace, then there are some insurance brokers that can help with that. With the HSA in particular, you're going to have to either that goes through your bank or your employer. And so there's very particular rules about the health savings accounts, and you can only use it. I'm looking at my notes. I did some homework this weekend about specifically about this, and you can only use it for certain accounts. Like I might have to get back with that as I'm looking through my notes here. But there's only very specific health accounts that you can use these sheltered accounts with. So you really have to pay attention to that. And you can call me later about that. I'm going to be digging through my notes here as we get another question, but and hopefully I can answer that a little bit more clear.
We will provide contact information for Andrea that you can get in touch with her after the show. And this is what Andrea is here for. It's not just she's not just a radio personality. She actually has a phone and an office and can take these kinds of questions. We got a question on Facebook, Andrea, that's kind of interesting. This is from Lisa. Is it helpful or necessary to do your 2013 taxes before enrolling in an ACA healthcare plan?
Well, what you'll need to do is this is really a projection for your 2014. So if you feel like if your 2012 is you think is pretty similar to your 2013, not much has changed, you can use your 2012 tax returns. But if your 2013 taxes is what you want to use, you actually can just bring in all your information for 2013. You don't have to actually have your taxes done. You can just bring in that information. So what we're looking for is your modified adjusted gross income, which means, and actually I sent this to Rachel. I sent a couple of forms to hopefully put on the KCAW site. One is this modified adjusted gross income, which is a flyer that tells you what, when you look at the income that you're going to put on for the healthcare marketplace, what does that include? So I want to encourage you to go on the website and check out that flyer. And so it includes wages, it tells you everything that includes, and it says what you deduct and what you can add back in certain income, which is some non-taxable Social Security benefits. So I hope that answers your question.
The time is 11 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. This is a live call-in on the Affordable Care Act. with Andrea Thomas, the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Andrea is here to answer your questions about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. The enrollment deadline for the ACA is March 31st. It's 20 days away, and Andrea makes her expertise available here in Sitka. She's come on the radio to take your questions now. You can call us, 747-5877, or post your question on Raven Radio's Facebook page, which you can access through kcaw.org. It is kind of, when you start talking tax forms and things and adjusted gross income, it starts to sort of make the hair stand up on the back of my neck a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the language. So whenever you're talking about health insurance, you're really talking about a whole different language. So let's talk a little bit about some of the basic language, which is premiums is what you would pay every month. And the tax credit that you get, that you may be eligible for, depending on your income, age, and family size, actually is what the federal government will help pay for your premium. So that's called a tax credit. And I'm going to back up a little bit, because when you put all your information into the marketplace, what it does is it looks at your income, age, and family size, and it makes some determinations. It makes some determinations on about how much money you can get for assistance. And so the tax credits are set up to help you pay for your premiums. That's a monthly payment. And then it takes a look at deductibles. Deductibles is what you pay out of pocket before your insurance kicks in. That's called a deductible. So let's just say you have a deductible of $500. That means you're going to pay $500 out of your pocket before your insurance kicks in. When your insurance kicks in, then we're talking about your co-payments or co-insurance. So that depends on what insurance plan you pick. So let's just say you pay $500 in your deductible. Once you pay that out of pocket, then your copay is 20%. So that means anything after $500, you pay 20% of the bill. Let's just say your bill is $100. You're going to pay $20, and the insurance company is going to pay $80. So that's copay or co-insurance. And sometimes they're percentages like that, and sometimes they're actual dollar amounts. Like, you're going to pay $10 for a doctor's visit, and your insurance is going to cover the rest. So those are co-payments and co-insurance. And then there's what's called a maximum out-of-pocket. That's the cap of what you're going to pay out-of-pocket in a year. And remember when I was talking about earlier that there's a new part of the law that says if you're an individual, the maximum out-of-pocket is going to be $6,350. That means in 1 year, once you reach that $6,350 mark, you're not going to pay anything after that. Insurance is going to cover everything. So you can imagine, you know, what a benefit that would be if you had a really terrible accident. You know, my husband broke his back 2 years ago, and it was $95,000 for Medevac out of here. And, you know, we had insurance which covered it. You can imagine how that could break the bank if you didn't have insurance or if you didn't have some sort of cap. So, again, so you pay a monthly premium, and that's how much you pay for your insurance. The tax credit from the federal government through the Affordable Care Act is what helps you pay for your premiums. And depending on your income, you could have a tax credit of $200. It could go up to $600. It all depends. And they pay that tax credit, that part of your premium, directly to the insurance company. And then you pay your part directly to the insurance company.
Well, and that's an important point, because when you talk tax credits, mm-hmm. you sometimes think of something that happens, you know, on April 15th when you file your taxes and you write down your credits. You've already paid the money, and then, you know, the government is going to give you a refund or whatever. But the tax credits in this insurance system happen right away, right?
Yes, and so the real name of this is Advanced Premium Tax Credit.
Okay.
And so that helps a little bit, though it's a whole other piece of jargon. And So this is what you need to know about these tax credits. If you say you're going to make $20,000 in a year and that's what you put in the marketplace, it's going to base your advanced premium tax credit on that $20,000. If you make less than that at the end of the year, because, again, you're making your best estimate, then you're going to be eligible for more assistance. So you're going to get some more money back from the federal government at the end of the year. And the reason why they do it, say, tax credit, is because this is all dealt with through the IRS. This is all dealt with when you file your taxes. Let's just say that you actually, instead of making $20,000, you make $30,000. Well, really what you need to do if you get another job or have it gets paid more, you need to call into the marketplace and let them know, because they can adjust your advanced premium tax credit right away. But if you don't call them, then at the end of the year, you're actually going to have to pay the federal government back some money, because they based your advanced premium tax credit on the $20,000.
Okay.
Well, so those are things. There's balances and ways to track it, but it's just really important to remember the income that you put in. And if you think it's going to be more, give the marketplace a call so they can adjust your tax credit.
Well, what's the difference between a tax credit and then just pure cost sharing, the subsidy that we hear about?
Okay, so the cost sharing is if you fall in 250% federal poverty level, which that completely depends on what family size you are. So if you're a family of two, and you make $48,450 or less, all the way to $19,380, then you're going to be eligible for some cost-sharing reductions, which means, remember when I was talking about the deductible, how much you have to pay out of pocket first? Well, those can be reduced. I've seen them reduced all the way down to $100. So that first you have to pay $100 out of your pocket, and then insurance kicks in. And another thing that happens is that it lowers your maximum out-of-pocket. Now, remember we said that the maximum that it can be is $6,350, but it can go way, way lower. So I've seen people, depending on their income, again, family size, it could be as low as $500 or even less. So in other words, you pay that $500 in a year and insurance covers everything else.
Okay.
So those are some huge benefits.
So is it true, Andrea, that I can't just go on to healthcare.gov and just kind of window shop because tax credits and cost sharing, those numbers, my actual premium numbers won't be shown, right?
Well, actually, there is a really good way to go in, and it says it's if you go on the healthcare.gov. There's three buttons, and it's the button on the left that says See Plans. And you can put some of your basic information in, which is you pick your state and they pick your county. Even though we're not a county, they call Sitka a county. Mm-hmm. You pick Sitka. And then you can put the ages of the people that you're interested in looking for insurance for. And then you put your income. And they can give you an estimate. And this has been a really pretty good estimate. They'll tell you an estimate of what they think you'll get for tax credits. And then they'll even have you look at some plans. So you can look at some plans and get an idea about, well, what would be your tax credit, your advanced premium tax credit? What could be your deductible? What's going to be your maximum out-of-pocket? And in Alaska, there's two insurance companies that are part of the Alaska marketplace. One is called MODA. And one is Premier Blue Cross Blue Shield. Those are the only two companies that are part of this marketplace. And so essentially you're going to look at these two plans and two companies, and they give – there's about 13 plans if you pick a silver plan. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Platinum, gold, silver,
yeah,
and bronze.
Yeah, all these metallic. Yeah. Yes, and so if you qualify for tax credits and these cost sharing reductions, the only plan you can pick to get all of these benefits is silver. So silver is the plan to pick if you fit within the income guidelines. And then in that silver, there's usually about 13 plans, and you can compare them and decide for yourself what looks best for you. What you need to know is that all these insurances cover 100% prevention services. So in other words, things like immunizations, going in for your annual exam, colorectal screening, other cancer screening is 100% covered. In other words, you don't have to meet your deductible. These are fully paid for. And they have, there's 10 core set of benefits, and I'm going to read them off for you. So
again, we're talking the silver plan.
Well, no, this is all the plans cover prevention 100% and also cover these 10 core benefits. So these are the essential benefits: ambulatory, patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health services and behavioral health services, and substance abuse treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative services, and that's like physical therapy and occupational therapy, laboratory services. All the prevention is 100% covered. That's a really big part of it, and all pediatric services. And these plans can cover dental for children, but not for adults. People would have to buy a separate plan for dental.
Can you do that on the exchange?
You can, and you can only do it when you're in there after you choose your plan. Then you can choose a dental plan, but you can't choose your health plan, go out, and come back in. Mm. It won't work, so you got to make the decision then and there.
Really? And I guess that's a reasonable time to do it. You're going to be seeing what the price options are, and you're going to either want to know if you want to have a dental or not, probably.
That's right. And some things to really keep in mind when you're looking at the different plans offered by MOTA or Premier Blue Cross Blue Shield is whether or not they're in-network or out-of-network. Right. Now, that's a whole other piece of language.
That was the very next thing I was going to ask you, because you often, you know, you run into providers, your healthcare provider is not in somebody's network, it creates a bit of a snag sometimes.
Right. And so when you look at the plans, you'll have to see whether or not that particular company pays in-network or out-of-network. Because generally, they'll pay something for out-of-network, but it's a much better deal if you're in-network. And in-network means there's some agreement between the healthcare agency or the provider and that insurance company, which makes it so that if you choose services with them, you will pay less. And so generally, you're going to pay more for out-of-network. But both companies actually have mechanism in there to pay in-network and out-of-network. So you really have to do the math. And I know lots of people hate to do the math. Mm-hmm. So when you compare the plans, you have to look at, okay, what are you paying for your premium? What's your deductible? After you reach your deductible, what is the copay coinsurance, which that's when the in-network and out-of-network come into play? And what's your maximum out-of-pocket? Let me give you an example. So let's just say a fellow named Jack, he went in and he found out that he gets a great tax credit, and he's going to pay $100 a month for his premium. And let's just say his deductible is going to be $250. So he's going to pay $250 before insurance kicks in, but his maximum out of pocket is $500. So after he pays his $250 for his deductible and his maximum out-of-pocket, which is $500, is only $250. So whether or not you're in-network or out-of-network, you're only going to have to pay $250 more dollars. So it might not make a difference whether or not what the in-network, out-of-network is. And so that's why you have to really look at it and decide for yourself. When I talk to MOTA and Premier Blue Cross Blue Shield, when you pay for an out-of-network provider, so let's just say, for example, MOTA is generally out-of-network. So I have a MOTA, and I go to search, and it's a $100 bill. Wouldn't that be nice if anything was really $100? But let's just say that, for example.
Or to have your hangnail examined.
That's right. Okay. Yes, that's right. And so let's just say it's out of network. And so that means I have to pay 50% and then the insurance will pay 50%. But if I was in network, if I chose Premier Blue Cross, maybe I would pay 20%, they would pay 80%. So again, you just have to, people really have to take a look at it and see what is right for them.
Is it a matter of just calling your healthcare provider, your doctor, wherever you go, and say I'm sitting down and I'm looking at I'm on the healthcare.gov marketplace, the exchange. I'm trying to figure out which plan is best. Are you in the MOTA or Primera Blue Cross network? Is it
yes?
Is that the question people should be asking?
Yes, if you have particular doctors that you go to, especially if you, for example, have cancer and you're going down to Seattle and, you know, you have a very specific doctor you're going to, I really strongly suggest that people call their provider and say, are you in network for MOTA? Are you in network for Premier Blue Cross? And then you can, it's really important to have that information. But again, it also depends on what kind of cost-sharing benefits you're offered through the marketplace. It may not matter once you do the math. So that's what you have to really take a look at, all of those things.
There is a lot to look at.
There is.
we have another question off of Facebook, and we touched on this earlier, Andrea, and I don't know if this listener heard it, but Rich writes, I am on Medicare. Is there anything I have to do?
You're set.
Right.
You're set. If you're covered by any form of insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare and veteran benefits are considered lifelong benefits, and so you really don't have to do anything.
What about if I'm covered by my employer, but I think the plan is expensive or it stinks or something? Can I go on to the exchange and upgrade?
No. That is one area that if you are offered insurance through your employer and it's been deemed affordable, this is not by you deeming it affordable, but by, because your employer has gone through a series of questions, I don't know, something.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you actually cannot apply on healthcare.gov. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not eligible, but you can certainly get insurance, but you're not eligible for the tax credits or anything like that. So.
All right. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. We're here to answer your questions about the Affordable Care Act, which the enrollment period ends on March 31st. It's only 20 days away. Andrea is one of our local experts in helping you get it enrolled. If you don't already have insurance coverage through Medicare or an employer plan, and we're taking your calls, and we've got Tully on the line. Hi, Tully.
Hi. So if you have an employer insurance and you change jobs and you go to a job that doesn't have insurance, what do you do? And what happens after open enrollment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's a great
scenario.
Question.
Thanks, Tully.
So you can, that's called, you're then eligible for a special enrollment period. You're eligible to actually apply on the marketplace. If there's definitely life circumstances that happen that make you eligible to apply for insurance after the March 31st deadline. Let's say, for example, you lose your job or you get a new job and it doesn't have insurance. That's a time that you can apply. If you get a divorce, especially if you're getting a divorce after that March 31st deadline, then you can go in. If there's a death, say your husband dies, those are things that would allow you to go in and make changes.
And is healthcare.gov, is that still the go-to place? I mean, we've been talking about it as the place to enroll, but is it a continuous resource for helping you manage your plan, or do you want to be picking up the phone and calling MOTA directly or Primera Blue Cross?
Well, there's going to be some things that you're going to call your insurance directly about. So if you have questions about this charge or that charge, you're going to call your insurance company. But if there's changes like what we were just talking about, you lost your job and you're getting a job without insurance, then you're going to go through the marketplace. As a general rule, once you have insurance through the marketplace, you're going to actually want to talk to both right? Right. You're going to make sure both of them have the information. So it is, yes, you are, this is going to be a continuous relationship through the marketplace and with that toll-free line, which is 1-800-318-2596. Again, that number can be called 24/7. You can apply over the phone at any time of the day or night. And this is a really great resource for people who, you know, work odd hours or might be night owls. You can take care of it all in the middle of the night if you'd like to.
Yeah, I have a friend who kind of battled with the healthcare.gov page for a while, the website. Even after it had been improved, she had a hard time sort of getting it all to sort of come together. And then she ended up calling the toll-free number, and she said she had a healthcare plan in about 15 or 20 minutes.
That's right. So if you really are having trouble with the website, just call them up directly, and they can do so many things. I mean, I can help people here, and I help many people go online and go through the whole process, and works out great. But if you're on your own and you've really struggled with that, I would say just forget the darn website and call them up. They can do many things that you and I can't do on the computer because they're right there and they have the ability to do all of that.
It's a person and not a
It's a
computer.
Real person, and they have a real name.
All right.
And
The number to call here to speak to real people is 747-5877. If you're outside of Sitka, it's 1-800-478-5877.
Now, I found that information about the health savings accounts. And if you go through your bank, so you can set something up like that. And a benefit of the health savings account is you don't have to pay taxes on the money that you put in there. And you also don't have to pay taxes on the interest also. So, but you can only use this health savings account for high deductible, high health plans. And there are these plans on the marketplace. So if you want to set up a health savings account, which, in other words, you put money in this health savings account to pay for your health care, to pay for the deductibles or the co-payments.
Those out-of-pocket expenses.
Those out-of-pocket expenses, right. So if you know this coming year is going to be a tough year medically for you, this might be a great way to, again, save some money, some tax money.
Right. But HSAs, health savings accounts, are not really part of the healthcare.gov marketplace. This is the caller who called in that question was talking about this sort of outside
entity, right? So you set up a health savings account at a bank, or sometimes employers have a health savings account. But then when you go on the marketplace, you need to choose the high deductible health plan because that's the only one that's going to be compatible legally.
Right.
With that.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the tie-in is.
All right. The information floated to the top of the pile there. Again, our number 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. And you can also post a question for Andrea Thomas on our Facebook page, which you can access by going to kcaw.org and clicking on the Facebook button. So
let's talk a little bit about the application process.
Yeah.
All the things you should get ready when you want to apply. So you really should have, you need to actually have, if you're going to do this online by yourself or if you come in and visit with me, you're going to need to have a email account, and you're going to have to know your password because you're going to have to get into your email in my office or at your home. And you're also going to need to have your income information. Again, the modified adjusted gross income. And again, we have a flyer for that, and it's up on the KCAW website that actually has a flyer about that. You need to have that information. And then if you have a green card, you'll need to have that with you because we'll need to have some of that information. You'll need to have social security number and everybody's birthday. So that's, you know, if you're applying for your whole family, you need to have everybody's information because it's all included. So say, for example, you're married and you have three kids, but only you need insurance. You still have to have the information about your whole family, and it's your whole family's income that's put into the marketplace. then it's going to take some time. So generally when people come to my office, it's probably about an hour and a half with explaining and going through the whole process. So you'll have to come with a little bit of patience. And then if you're doing it on your own, you'll type in all your information. It'll send you an email. Then you go in your email, find the one that says Marketplace Account, and then you press on a link in there. And then it takes you back to the website, and it chugs through, and it'll say success. And then you can carry on. Then it's going to try to verify your identity. So it's going to ask you some trick questions. And if they ask you your county, you're always going to put in Sitka, even though we know there's no counties around here. And once you get through if you don't get through the verification process, sometimes you'll have to make a call to a certain company. And so you call that certain company up, and then they ask you a number of questions and verify your identity. What I found is after that happens, that you're going to have to wait a bit before you get back on, because it takes a while for that to get through the system. So if you get into that situation after you call, you just give it a rest for 24 hours and try it again the next day. Then you can continue putting your information in it. If you're verified, you continue putting in your information. And so there's the income part tends to be a little bit trickier, because they're going to ask, where is your income coming from? So you have to put your job in. If you get unemployment benefits, if you get the permanent dividend, all these incomes that come in, you have to do a little bit something about each one of those. And you really have to check, because when they come back and tell you, is this what you make a year? Oftentimes I've seen it come back like, whoa, way, way higher. And it's because instead of saying you make $24,000 in a year, it says you make $24,000 a month, and you have to go back and change it. Mm-hmm. So there's these little, you really have to pay attention to those kind of things.
Right. And we did have a question about income since we're on this subject, okay. Andrea. This was called into the station by John. Not everybody has to go on the air, by the way. We have staff who will just take your question and bring it on in here. What about college students who may be using grants or savings as income? Will they fall into the donut hole?
Yeah, it depends.
How is that income treated?
Right. So if, they're actually, those are considered more deductible. So if people are, we've had situations where people have really saved up for college and they're going to college and there's no income coming in, then they personally fall in this donut hole. But then again, their parents, if they're under 26, could actually cover them for their insurance, and that's a possibility for them if that is a possibility, if they want to pay their parents.
Yes,
if the parents are willing to dish it out.
It's negotiable.
That's right.
We'll just start right there.
That's right, but there are certain circumstances that, yes, they would fall below that 100% federal poverty level.
Okay, mm-hmm. And John had another question, and again, you touched on it a little bit earlier. Is the enrollment period deadline just for 2014? What about 2015 and later enrollment as folks age into the program? I think you sort of covered that, that there are contingencies built into the system.
Right, so let's talk a little bit about, there's open enrollment, and that ends March 31st, 2014. The next one starts November 15th, and it goes to January 15th. Now, this is what it is right now. Who knows if that's really what will be starting in November, because it's negotiable, I guess. But right now, that's what you can bank on. So that starting November 15th will be then for 2015. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about Alaska Native or American Indian.
Right.
Because for Alaska Natives or American Indians, actually, they can enroll in the marketplace any month of the year. And also they can file their exemption, the Alaska Native American Indian exemption form, anytime in 2014. So there's a very specific exemption form for Alaska Native American Indian people, which basically says that Alaska Native American Indian people are covered by the Indian Health Service. So that's a form of insurance. So it's proving you're Alaska Native by showing by submitting some sort of document. Could be a certificate of Indian blood, could be a tribal enrollment card, could be actually a shareholder's card. So you fill out this application, and it's a paper application. It's located at any search clinic. And I've also, you know, I just got back from Angoon and helped more than 50 people file this exemption or fill out this exemption. It really only takes 10 or 15 minutes. It's very quick. And you file a copy only, not original, of any one of those documents that I talked about. And that basically says, I'm Alaska Native American Indian, I'm covered by IHS insurance, and I'm exempt from paying this tax penalty. And so it's really important. It's especially important for people that are only covered by the Indian Health Service. In fact, it's mandatory, really, for them to file this exemption. Well, otherwise, they could face a tax penalty.
Yeah, well, it sounds contradictory. You help Alaska or Native Americans or Alaska Natives enroll, or you help them file the exemption. I mean,
that's right.
What is the choice there? Should I enroll if I'm Alaska Native, or should I file for the exemption?
Well, I am because this exemption is a lifetime exemption, I'm really encouraging all Alaska Native or American Indian people to file this exemption, even if they're covered by insurance. Now, if they're covered by Medicare or veterans benefits, which are considered lifetime benefits, then I wouldn't worry about it. But, you know, if you are Alaska Native and you have a job that offers insurance and that's what you have, you know, you might not have that job 5 years later. So I just, because it's a lifetime exemption, I encourage all Alaska Native American Indian people to file that exemption. Now, that being said, there is really actually a great deal for Alaska Native people to go on the marketplace and get insurance. And why it's such a great deal, number one, they can enroll any time, any month. And also, if they make between 100% and 300% of the federal poverty level, they actually have another great deal in that they don't have to pay a deductible and they don't have to pay any out-of-pocket expenses. So it's another way of getting insurance that really only have to pay a premium. And again, this is the same for everybody. You have to fit within that poverty level. You have to fit between 100% and 400% and under 300% for special deductions. So you have to fit within that. And also, you can't be eligible for insurance through your employer. So in other words, as a search, if you work for search and you're Alaska Native and you decided not to take the insurance because you felt it was unaffordable to you, you're not eligible to actually get insurance through the marketplace because you're offered affordable insurance through your employer. So there's definitely some catches with that.
Yeah, and I guess there must be something I'm missing, because if I am covered by IHS, Indian Health Service benefits, why would I even go there for insurance?
Well,
in the marketplace,
right? A lot of people like to have insurance because it covers things that might not be covered by IHS. It gives them a sense of security if they travel quite a bit out of state. Even though contract health actually will help cover expenses out of state, it still is easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can afford it. And actually, if people get insurance, the Indian Health Service is a very set amount of money. And when Alaska Native or American Indian people have insurance, and then so that insurance can be billed, it actually stretches that Indian Health Service money a lot further. So, of course, it's a benefit for not just search, but all Alaska Native or American Indian people that are getting services. So there's actually quite a few benefits.
Is that a kind of a one-on-one decision? Is that a case-by-case sort of thing? I mean, do people have to kind of crunch the numbers there as well? Or are you just...
Yes, all of these are personal decisions.
Yeah,
yes,
I guess that's kind of a dumb question.
All of these are decisions that people need to make. And some people want insurance because they want to have a variety of options. And so that's another consideration too.
Okay. Andrea, we had a question about prescription plans.
Yes.
This is from our email. All the in-network and out-of-network questions bring to mind a surprise I ran into signing up for Medicare. There are a number of prescription plans, only a few of which are in-network in Sitka. Does it matter under these plans for drugs?
Right. So if you have certain medications that you use, that would be something that you want to do a little bit exploring on for whatever plan that you pick. But from my look at all the prescription sections of all the plans offered, there's a in-network and there's a out-of-network. And so you're right. In small places, in local pharmacies, they often can't be in-network. It's just too expensive for them. And largely that has to be really big pharmacies like Costco or Fred Meyer. That being said, they still pay out-of-network, I guess depending on your plan. And so you might pay a little bit higher fee for that, or oftentimes they have these insurance plans have these specific plans for medications that you can get a 90-day supply. So you really have to look specifically into the plan that you're considering and see what they offer. Because you're correct. There's in-network and there's out-of-network within Sika, with the pharmacies.
I will say this. Again, we talked earlier about some of the reporting we've done at KCIW, and I did speak with one person who had extremely high monthly prescription drug bills, like in the $11 to $12, you know, $1,300
yeah.
range, and who found a way through this, through the ACA, to kind of reduce her premiums to a more sort of humane level. It was interesting to see how that kind of worked out.
Yeah, and I have really seen that. So, for example, I actually, there's people that I've worked with that actually make over the amount, so they don't necessarily get any tax credits or cost reduction, but what they paid for their premium was really high, and then they just went through the marketplace, and what they could find was a little over a third of what they were paying. So, you know, $600 versus $1,400. So I guess it's not quite a third.
Yeah.
My math is a little off there, but you could say it was significantly reduced. So, and for some people, look, going on there just because of their income, not much difference. Or maybe they have a catastrophic and only want to, you know, that's what they want. So, and really catastrophic is only available for somebody that's 30 or under.
Okay.
Through the marketplace.
Andrea, there's another question in. Again, this is to our email here at KCAW. I think people are emailing news@kcaw.org. If I had a self-insured high deductible plan and a health savings account, then I signed up to get a low deductible plan, what happens to the health savings account if it's not compatible?
Yeah. Good question.
Is this
ask your bank.
Okay.
I would ask your bank. I basically pulled these instructions, which was from the Department of Treasury. It was instructions forms for health savings accounts for 2013, and that's where I got all my information. It was through the Internal Revenue Service. So you might want to try to find that document. It's Form 8889, and that might be able to help with your question.
Okay. So, and again, health savings accounts, they're part of the picture of, you know, dealing with insurance for sure, but they're not necessarily a product that's available in this marketplace.
Right. And let me just say that if you accidentally got a low deductible one and you want a high deductible one, there is a way before March 31st to go in and delete that one and choose another one. So you have a little window of time if you find yourself in that situation.
Mm, okay. Andrea, I had, again, maybe some really simple questions. Since all of us who are, you know, everyone out there who's uninsured is probably going to be taking a look at this, how long does it take from the time I enroll to the time I can go to the doctor?
Okay. So if you go through the whole system in the first half of the month, let's just say March 1st to March 15th, then your insurance is going to start April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enroll in the latter half of the month, it's going to be the following month, May 1st. So those of you who want your insurance through starting April 1st, you got a few days to go here. And then the latter half of the month. So that's what it looks like. So it's essentially going to be the month later or the following month, depending on when you enroll. And so it actually doesn't start until you pay your premium. So once you go in and enroll, then you should hear from the plan or the company within a week. If you don't, you're given a phone number to call them. And there's been some glitches in that whole scenario where the marketplace has to give the information to the insurance company. Sometimes there's a lapse, and so that can happen. But you should be able to call your insurance company. Then they'll tell you how you can pay your premium. Once you pay your premium, then you're considered. That's when insurance starts. It is unlike when you go buy insurance just directly. Usually if you go buy insurance, then it starts the day after you pay or something like that. But that's not the case for the marketplace. It's the next month or the following month, depending on when you enroll.
Okay. I wanted to present a scenario to you that you might have encountered the other night. It didn't find its way into our news reporting, but we learned about it. But say you are a fisherman, mm-hmm. and you had an extraordinarily good year.
Yeah.
Last year, and record pink salmon year, and your income sort of bumped up over the level where you'd normally qualify for mm-hmm. subsidies or tax credits.
Yep.
And you don't expect to have a good year every year. In fact, you can probably demonstrate average income that puts you squarely in the area where you would qualify for credits or subsidies. You know, yet you go on to healthcare.gov, they want to take a look at, you know, your tax form, they see you're outside the usual range, and suddenly you're looking at paying, you know, premiums, additional overhead that you just hadn't really factored on in your business. It was like, hey, I was having a good year, and suddenly, wow, I've got to pay, you know, $680 or $700 a month premium
right
now, or face the penalty.
Yes.
What's the answer there?
The answer to that is people need to make a personal decision. but actually, this what you have to consider is you're projecting, the income that you're putting in is what you're projecting for 2014. So if you know 2013 was a very good year, which we know that was a good year, then if you feel like when you look past, you know, fishing again, you just never know. So you're going to have to make your best guess. And after you make your best guess, you need to have that document and write that down. And then as the season progresses and it looks like it's going to be a really awesome year, then you're going to have to call the marketplace and let them know. When you know it's going to be a good season, you're going to have to call them up and let them know, and then they're going to adjust your premiums. So again, you're giving your best guess, and you are signing this off under perjury. But but it really is really for fishing and other self-employment businesses. Oftentimes, it is the best guess, and fishing is probably a little bit more crazy and up and down.
Yeah, speaking of crazy, I know that again, an example I cited earlier, the friend who had great success kind of phoning mm-hmm. in and found a great insurance plan. She hadn't had insurance before. She found it very affordable. We did reporting here at in Raven News about a fishing family that is paying sort of in the $700 a month mm-hmm. range, which is, you know, a much better plan than they were getting.
That's right.
But still kind of, you know, expensive. Are you finding in general that the marketplace kind of does factor in the occupational risks into premiums? Are fishermen, should they be expecting to not quite get the affordable deal that some, you know, land-based people aren't?
Well, I've seen it go both ways, always, actually. But I've seen a lot of fishermen actually get really, really good deals, actually. So and so it really depends, again, on your age, income, family size, and So I've seen it actually both ways. You know, again, it's all based on that and what you put in for your income.
What about older people? I know under the ACA, you know, you can't be declined based on age or pre-existing conditions, but mm-hmm. can you expect to pay a higher premium out of all this if you're coming in older?
Yes. Yeah. The younger you are, the cheaper it is. So, but I have seen that's not necessarily the case. I mean, if you just looked at age alone, the answer would be yes. But when you look at the other factors, which is age, income, and family size, I've seen people that are 50 pay $6 a month for premium.
Wow.
Right? And have a really low deductible and low out-of-pocket. So it truly depends on the combination of those things.
All right. The time is 11:46. We've got 14 minutes left. There's plenty of time to take your calls. The number is 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877 if you're outside of Sitka. You can also post a question to our Facebook page at kcaw.org. Just click on the Facebook tab, or you can email us, news@kcaw.org. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, and she's been filling my brain with information about this act, which I thought was so simple, and then listening to you talk, I realize it's quite complicated. But
it is.
But then I do wonder if most people, where do most people fall? I mean, I'm feeling a little intimidated by all this, even though I'm not really part of it. I'm covered by a healthcare plan with Coast Alaska and Raven Radio. Thank you, Board of Directors, for doing that. But I think if I were not, I would feel a little intimidated going into this. But do you find that people actually sort of get through it, you know, unscathed, or
yes,
does it just turn into this?
They're
beast?
Not. Lots of people aren't damaged for life. In other words, going through this, and that's why, you know, it's really great to get this word up, because it's been so confusing and there's a lot of misinformation, and it, and anytime you talk about insurance in general, it's very, very confusing. So I really want to encourage people to call that 1-800 line directly. That's 1-800-318-2596. And also, I'm available to answer calls, and you can reach me at 966-8883. Also, there's United Way is a navigator for Alaska, and we have a great person in Juneau. Her name is Crystal Borland, and she has a wealth of knowledge, and you can reach her at 523-1147 or 211, which takes United Way is all over the state, and that's a really great resource. And I just really want to encourage people, if you're feeling like it's a little bit too much and you want to come to an enrollment event, there's going to be four coming up. One is actually tomorrow night, and it's at UAS. It's from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's up at the Student Success Center. And we have this great partnership with UAS, which really opened up their doors into their really very beautiful Student Success Center. It's a very comfortable situation. You're on your own computer, and there's people to assist you. And I have kind of a crib sheet there and all these handouts, so that you can read through the crib sheet and go in and set up your account and go through the system and have people there to help you out. I'm also going to have it this Saturday from 1 to 3. Then the next week is spring break, so UAS is out that week. But then the following week, the final week of filing for insurance, on that Tuesday and Thursday, we're also going to have an event at UAS from 5:30 to 7:30. And I'm also available to meet people individually. And I've been getting a number of calls. At some point, I'm going to get maxed out. I'm going to send some over to my colleague, Julie Graham, who's over at the Search Hospital, to help out. But again, you can always call directly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to the national line and be able to do it all by phone.
Yeah, March 25th and 27th. That is sort of getting down to
it
the,
is getting down there. Don't wait until
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
But if you do, we'll be there.
And I should say, for the record, we called 211 before mm-hmm. we went on the air today,
yes.
and while we were waiting for you to your flight to arrive, and it works. You do get directed to United Way, who asks you where you're calling from and helps steer you towards a navigator in mm-hmm. your area. We're getting down to the wire. We can take another couple of calls for sure. 747-5877. We will also post this entire program to our website, and we'll list these dates.
Okay. Great.
And some of the contact information for you, Andrea, so people can, you know, if they're sort of putting it out of their minds now but want to come back and check on it later, you can go to kcaw.org. There's a couple of other things I wanted to ask you, and it has sort of crossed our radar a little bit. When you mentioned the 50-year-old who was paying the $6 premium, we did speak with somebody who was, you know, was delighted to have her health care plan, you know, come down dramatically in cost. And but the problem was she felt a little guilty about it. And I guess in the big picture, you know, she had a sort of a more a larger perspective on what was happening here, and realized that she was benefiting from government, you know, sort of a government subsidy in a way she hadn't really done before, and it was not entirely sitting well with her. She would rather just that healthcare costs would just kind of come down, but she was sort of feeling it a little
now,
bit.
Yeah, I really would like to address that, because the Affordable Care Act, again, remember what I was talking about, how it's this huge piece of legislation, and the abbreviated one is 954 pages. How this is getting funded is, people have often heard about how the healthcare costs have been skyrocketing. There's a whole lot in this legislation, which is how this is getting paid for, which is a number of regulation changes and taxes, and taxes for pharmaceutical companies and for health insurance. And it's actually, so where the money is comes from is the reducing of these healthcare costs and these penalties and taxes, and that's what pays for the Affordable Care Act. So I would say that this is part of a larger policy plan to reduce healthcare costs in our nation, which have been skyrocketing, and to not feel guilty, because the Affordable Care Act is actually reducing expenses, and so the intent is to have everybody covered by insurance, because when everybody is covered by insurance and everybody's pitching in money for that, it helps everybody receive coverage.
That's a pretty thorough answer. I'm assuming you've probably had people express the same concern
yes.
to you about, ooh, I don't necessarily want to cash in on somebody else's tax
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah.
But okay. that's the way of the world, right? You do it's taxes and or you have tax or you have cuts in services.
Right.
It's all a balance.
Okay.
Looks like we have a number of
We have another caller. We have Robin. Hi, Robin. You're on the air. You have a question for Andrea?
Thank you. I do. And I missed the first part, so if I'm redundant, I apologize. I'm on Medicare and have a supplement and have a prescription plan. Do I have to do anything with those?
No, you're good. Yeah, anybody who's insured with Medicare, Medicaid, Veterans Benefits, insurance, or any other kind of employer health plan, you're good. You don't have to do anything. You're good to go.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I wondered.
Thank you for your call, Robin. And we have another call. Kaylin, you there?
Yes. I have a question. We have several people here in Sitka who are permanent residents but not American citizens. Are they eligible?
Yes. If they have a green card, yeah, then they are eligible. Yes, they are.
Okay, that's what we need to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. We have about 6 minutes left. We could still take your call, too. It's not too late. 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877. If you had a question for Andrea Thomas, who is the outreach or the enrollment manager at the search, Andrea, how did you get your training in all this? Where did you? You must have invested a little bit of time.
I did actually. For anybody, I'm a certified application counselor. So myself and actually there's about five people within Search who've gone through this training, and it's a kind of an online training, and you have to pass these exams. And so I just have really been interested in this topic, and this is actually a brand new job. As you, some of you know, I've been in the field of tobacco policy and prevention for a number of years, and with this opportunity came up, it's just something I'm really passionate about. And so even though I did the training a lot, I've learned actually quite a bit by colleagues and different webinars and actually just helping people on a day-to-day basis that I've learned really so much. And I continue to learn every day. Like I did all this research this weekend for this program, and there's just so much to learn. Again, this is the Affordable Care Act is a huge piece of legislation, and there's still more to learn. And so I figure by the time the next enrollment in November, it's going to be even more amazing.
Yeah.
You know even more.
And you kind of light up talking about this. Again, we reported on one man who you sort of led through this process, and he knocked the table over, stood up, and said, "Come here, give me a hug."
I know. It's been really great working with people that, for some people, are just getting health insurance for the very first time or have had pre-existing conditions, and people are often in tears, and I also get a lot of hugs. It's great. It's actually really, it's been very satisfying, and really, most everybody wants health insurance. It's just they couldn't afford it, and so it's really great to be able to help people navigate through this so that they can get insurance that's affordable.
Yeah, and again, it's not always a rosy picture for everybody, unfortunately. And the act is definitely still very much source of political tension in Washington.
Yes.
But it also is the law of the land, and
it's
bearing down on us this March 31st deadline to enroll. And again, I guess the if people really want to connect with you, again, the best thing to do would just be tomorrow evening, 5:30 to 7:30, go to the Student Success Center UAS. All these details will be posted on our website, kcaw.org. And I guess the best thing of all is that actually
It's all free.
There are no charges for your services.
Yep, that's right.
That is pretty darn.
That's awesome, isn't
good.
It?
Good.
Not very much comes free, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's I think we've gone about as far as we can go.
It's great. Thanks for having me. It's been great to be on.
And we're actually going to. You came literally off the plane from Angoon, and you came into our studios. And you're probably the rest of your day. You're booked with appointments, meeting individually with people.
Yes.
And probably, if anything you've heard today is tipping you towards action, probably getting a hold of you, Andrea, sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Or dialing the United Way at 211 is probably advised, because 20 days can just go by in the blink of an eye here.
That's right, and everybody will be trying to do this last minute. So again, now that you know that 800 number that you can call 24/7, that's always a good alternative.
All right. You've been listening to a live call-in on the Affordable Care Act here on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director. Our fabulous guest has been Andrea Thomas, the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. We had extraordinary help today from Rachel Waldholtz, KCAW's reporter. Emily Foreman, our postgraduate fellow, has been helping bring calls in, along with Rebecca LaGuire, our program director, who helps sort of clear the schedule to make this kind of thing happen. Anyway, so thanks again, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
BBC is coming up next on Raven Radio.